From KCRW in Santa Monica and KCRW.com, I'm Matt Holzman, sitting in for Kim Masters, and this is The Business.
If you listen and learn, then you're going to be able to do anything you want in this town.
Everybody thinks show business is really, really all right, like he does it crazy.
What's with him?
Oh, I'm afraid he's gone Hollywood.
This week on The Business, the networks get nerve during their upfront ad sales extravaganza. Kim Masters files a report from New York. Plus, an ad buyer insists no matter how much the networks sing and dance, it's still all about the numbers. And a lot of new shows will be shot in high def. That's great for viewers, but what does it mean for the people who make TV? That's all coming up next on The Business from KCRW.
You can imagine Hollywood, everything is really driven by
making money.
What's with him?
Oh, I'm afraid he's gone to Hollywood.
Spring is here and courtship is in the air. Birds display plumage, monkeys howl, and teenagers slather themselves in Aramis. But no mating ritual is quite as curious as the television upfronts. With great fanfare, the TV networks trot out their new schedules, hoping to attract billions in ad dollars with promises of big new audiences. Like in nature, the upfront mating dance is all about survival. With the decline of broadcast TV viewing and the economy on the brink, the networks are trying to avoid the endangered species list. Our host Kim Masters was in New York for it all, and I talked with her late last week. Kim, how many years have you been going to the television upfronts in New York?
I think this is my fourth year. They tend to somewhat run into one another because there's a certain similarity.
But are there some differences this year that are kind of remarkable?
This year is really different. You know, Matt, we're in a very difficult economic environment.
Yes, and I've heard.
So that means that companies are not spending as much on advertising, and of course that really hurts the networks. And you know that people are defecting to other screens to some degree, right? That handheld devices and their laptops or computers. So that's what TV is suffering, fragmenting audiences. And the question is, how are they putting the best possible spin on this particularly difficult year in front of these advertisers? And the answer is, it depends on what story they have to tell. For example, let's start with Fox, where they went first on Monday. And Fox is the number one network because of American Idol, and continues to be. So Fox's story was, you know, TV is still huge. People still watch TV, you know, more than they watch the so-called other screens, laptops or handheld devices.
Which is true.
And that, you know, that Fox is number one, and they made the point of stating that American Idol, despite the fact that it slipped a little, which they didn't mention, beats the next biggest TV show by a 69% margin in ratings. That's Desperate Housewives. They clobber the next biggest TV show. So their message was, we're huge. It's just like the old days. You know, they had the big party. They were the booze and the food, with everything like the good old days. That's the Fox. They went first.
Well, the number one network has it easy that way, right?
Yes, it's so good to be number one.
Right.
So then comes along Tuesday, ABC. And ABC is not the number one network. And, you know, it's not quite as simple of a story. But here was their story.
I actually have Steve McPherson, who's the president of ABC. And here's what he said.
The upscale audience for us is incredibly important because, you know, to oversimplify, if you look at, you know, the average American household makes about 50 grand a year. Those people, to me, have already gone generic. The people who are, you know, 50 to 100 are probably, they probably bought brand names and they're maybe considering it. But 100 plus are still the people who are going to buy the premium brands, who are still going to be out there shopping for premium products. And so to us, we think our upscale advantage is a really important one going into the upfront.
I caught him at the a briefing of reporters, and that was the spin they gave to advertisers. Our viewers have money. The poorer folk are buying generic brands, so come to us and sell your branded products because that's where you will find your buyers.
Okay.
And then we'll get to the CBS has also a decent story. They're a very strong network. They're the only one to have shown audience growth the past year, which is really bucking the trend. So, of course, they didn't have that many new shows, and their message is, you know, we're strong and we're growing. And I think NBC's message is, we'll do just about anything you want us to if you want.
We're your private dancer. We'll dance for money. Right.
Yeah. You know, and as you know, they did the in front. So they did this sort of strange thing where they presented their shows a couple of weeks ago. They didn't unveil their schedule until yesterday. And then they brought together a night of comedy instead of having a party. And by the way, ABC skipped the party altogether. Mm. And this was, you know, Conan O'Brien, Jimmy Fallon, their late night talk folks, plus Rainn Wilson. You know, I noticed they didn't get the heaviest hitters. You know, they got Rainn Wilson, but not Steve Carell from The Office. They got Tracy Morgan, but not Tina Fey from 30 Rock. But they had an array of talent. There was, however, a problem, Matt.
What was the problem?
The problem was that this night of comedy ended with a big, long stand-up routine by Jay Leno. And Jay Leno did more than half an hour of completely, you know, standard canned material. You know, my wife this, my cat that. And I got to tell you, it did not play well. The advertisers started to file out of the auditorium. So people, that didn't go well.
People have walked out on Leno before, but this is particularly important because they're trying this huge experiment by putting him in prime time at 10 o'clock. And you're saying their first impression was...
Well, it's not just people. It's people in the advertising community who will make a decision how many dollars they intend to commit up front to supporting this show. And there is tension. You know, they don't want to pay primetime advertising dollars for a talk show, even if it's a talk show in primetime. And NBC, of course, wants to get as much, you know, the show is a lot cheaper than a scripted show, but they still want to get their ad dollars. And to have Leno come out in front of the very people they're trying to impress and just kind of not hit it over the fence... That did not go so well.
How did Jimmy Kimmel for ABC do? He's kind of
Jimmy Kimmel. He sort of rocked the upfronts a little bit. He came out on the stage for ABC, and he did nothing but tell the truth for about 10 minutes. And all he did was say, they didn't even want me here. I know they wanted Leno. You know, I got to tell you something. Let's be honest. Let's be real. All of these shows we're pitching, most of them are going to fail. 90% of them will be gone by Christmas. Everybody in this room is a liar. And, you know, how did the advertisers react? They laughed themselves sick. It was just a stunning exercise in the truth sort of striking people as hilarious.
Is Kimmel right? Now, the predictions were going into the upfronts that ad sales were going to be down 10, maybe even 20%. Is there a sense
yes.
of how things are going?
There isn't a sense, but I'll tell you really what is interesting to me, which is another exercise. If the Leno thing was one of the not wise decisions for a network at this upfront, the other thing that may be a problem, Fox's big show that it's pushing like crazy is a show called Glee. And Glee is kind of like High School Musical set in Desperate Housewife land, you know? And it looked like to me like it could be a fun show. I saw some clips that they showed to us. And when you came to their upfront, there were gigantic Glee, you know, colorful balloons. I mean, really big balloons. There were, you know, they put on a big show. They had the young people from the show come and sing a number, although it was painfully lip-synced. And then they did a stunt last week, which is they ran the first episode of Glee after the finale of American Idol. And the idea was, we're having the biggest grassroots screening ever. That's what they said. And, you know, but then you look at what happened and what could have happened. What happened is the show lost the American Idol audience. The ratings fell relatively sharply. And so now there's a chance that audiences will have a sense, and advertisers more importantly right now, that this is tainted, that they tried an experiment that didn't work. Even in the best case scenario, if it had done well, there would be several months now before the show actually comes on the air in September. So I can tell you that executives at CBS, which had a press breakfast right after this Glee premiere screening, were kind of, I'd say, a little happy when they were looking at those ratings numbers, and they felt that this was a big mistake.
The competitor was gloating.
The competitors love to gloat. I mean, this was a wonderful morning for CBS last Wednesday when you're listening to the show in L.A. because Leno had done a sort of a so-so show the night before, and the Glee numbers were not very good. So there was just a riches for CBS to be. They were happy.
Of course, in a time when TV, when broadcast TV is suffering so badly, experiments like that are necessary, and some of them are going to fail.
Absolutely. I'll tell you one thing, Matt. All the networks are experimenting with is how much they can cut costs. Even Fox, number one Fox, has said, not in front of the advertisers, but in response to questions from the press, that you know, they are going to be cutting back. And that is across the board.
Well, you talked to Stephen McPherson, who's the president of ABC, and here's what he said.
Cost containment is alive and well. I mean, there's no question. We've taken tens of millions of dollars out of budgets. I think it depends on where you take it. You know, we still did more pilots than we've ever done for less money.
So he's trying to put a good face on cost cutting.
They're all planning to put a good face on it.
On everything.
It's interesting, you know, and they are launching one of the bolder experiments here. ABC is launching a block of comedies on Wednesday night, including a show that I kind of want to see, Modern Family, which is, it looks like a very funny sort of take on the three different, they're connected families. There's the older man married to the younger woman. There's the gay couple with the Vietnamese baby. And then there's just a kind of a middle American vanilla family, but, you know, where the dad's trying to be hip. I think that show looked really funny. But it's part of a block of comedies that they're launching on Wednesday night. Not one of these is a returning show. And that is really risky. It is incredibly hard to launch a new show without a platform to launch it from. So I know competitors are somewhat hopeful that this will harm ABC's efforts to launch this comedy block out of thin air. Okay, that's going to be a very tough challenge for them.
We're talking about a lot of experiments. One of the things all the networks were talking about was bringing in the advertisers kind of early to the process, not just selling them the shows, but kind of involving them in the programming and the scheduling process. Have you heard about that? Have you seen that at all?
I have sort of seen the advertisers, you know, kind of politely say, yes, it's very nice. I don't think it seems to be anything that I've heard so far that they're wildly enthusiastic about, you know, that anybody's saying, yes, this was the answer. Now, I've talked to a few random people. I'm sure someone out there is happy, but nobody that I happened across was telling me what a great thing it was.
One of the things that we talked about earlier before we went on the air was that you ran into Peter Chernin. And for those who don't know, he used to be the head of all of Fox. He was deposed recently. What was he doing there? And what did he say to you?
I think he was sort of holding court. The question I wanted to ask him is, I had heard that there was a terrific fight. There were some terrific fights over renewals this year, and one of the ones was Bones on Fox. And this is a show, which, like many now, that was produced by the Fox studio and sold to the Fox network. And so this was in the family fight over how much the network would pay to the studio to produce this show. And I understand it got very, very, very heated, and the people were sort of chuckling because it was the first family fight where Daddy, you know, Peter Chernin, he's sort of little Daddy because Rupert Murdoch, of course, is big Daddy at Fox and News Corp. But Daddy wasn't there. And Peter kind of chuckled when I asked him about it and said, yeah, it was pretty hard. And, you know, Peter Rice, who used to run Fox Searchlight, is now the new head of television. He's been in the job 8 weeks and he's coming. They've really thrown him into the deep end of the pool. And by the way, I just want to mention that that kind of fight also took place over Medium, which has been a sort of a yeoman's work kind of drama for NBC. They've brought it in when things aren't working mid-season. It always does a sort of a okay number. They got into a huge fight over how many episodes they would have to order to get the talent and the show people to agree. Medium jumped to CBS. This is something we saw happen last year with Scrubs going to ABC. CBS just took the whole show. They are pairing it on Friday night with the coming after the Ghost Whisperer. They feel it's very complimentary. And that is the kind of thing we might see more of in this environment when there's these fights over money and another network sees it as being worthwhile to step up. Now CBS and NBC are sort of trading pot shots about, isn't it true that Medium pulled in a bigger number than some of the shows that NBC renewed? And it is true. But, you know, they're arguing, well, you know, we need different shows for different purposes and different time slots. But this was quite an amazing fight. NBC did renew Chuck, which is a show that was not doing that well. And it was apparently in deference to fan support, to a dedicated fan group. So this is, you know, these are the calls that these guys make. And only time will tell whether they end up living to rue the day.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, we can talk about experiments, we can talk about ratings, we can talk about, cutting costs down, but all the network heads are saying, and I think it's true, that at the end of the day, it's the shows. If they've got a show that people want to watch, they're in good shape, and if they don't, they're not.
That is exactly what CBS chief Les Moonves said at the press breakfast this morning. It's about the shows. You can get a hit show. Of course, they are panting to go after Leno. They're putting up a couple of CSIs and some other new dramas. Everybody's trying to get new dramas up against Leno. But it's not, and it is the shows, and they do have their old standby to fall back on, TV, broadcast television, still is the biggest aggregator of eyeballs. And if you want to sell something to the biggest number of people, that's where you find the biggest number.
Kim Masters is normally the host of this show, The Business. I spoke to her
normally
from the upfronts in New York. Kim, have a safe flight back, and we'll see you here in L.A.
Thank you, Matt.
The raison d'etre of commercial broadcasters is to deliver eyes and ears to advertisers. But at the upfronts, the networks are selling potential eyes and ears, since the public hasn't seen many of the shows they're pitching. And for all but the biggest returning shows, it's hard to know exactly what kind of audience a new season will bring. So the networks throw out a lot of glitz and glamour to get advertisers to literally buy into their programs up front, while buyers attempt to keep their emotional distance and just look at the numbers. To get the advertiser's point of view about the upfronts, Kim Masters talked to Lyle Schwartz. He's director of network implementation research and marketplace analysis at the giant media buying firm Group M. Their clients include Warner Brothers, AT&T, and Lever Brothers.
Well, what I do is I actually figure out what the supply is of the audience and what the pricing could be. And then there are buyers who actually go in and negotiate to be on the programs or the newspapers or magazines that are specific for that client and what the client wants to achieve in the marketplace.
So you wouldn't say, well, you know, this show looks like a great setting for your product.
No, but what I would do is talk about what audience would be watching a TV program, what the size of the audience is, what their age is, and really the type of programming and what we could expect. And we do it across all the networks simultaneously. And then at that point, when our buyers are trying to fit a schedule to meet our clients' needs, they'll take a look at the size and the scope of the audience to figure out if those programs are ones that fit in with what they need to achieve.
But do you deal at all with, you know, whether the show is good?
Well, clearly, if the show is good, is a key component of whether people will watch it. There's a lot of times you'll see a lot of critics will talk about programs from their perspective and how great and wonderful it is. And that's great. But my perspective is I'm interested if they are actually able to achieve an audience that our clients are interested in. So good to me means gets an audience, gets them where the type of audience that I want, and that we can buy it at an efficient and effective manner.
Okay, so thinking, it's commercial we're talking about, not critical success, but commercial success.
Yes.
So you've now been to Fox and ABC, I assume.
Yes.
And Fox's message was, we're number one, we're number one by a lot, and this is still the best place to sell anything. Do you think that's valid?
Well, Fox has got some tremendous programming on there that is a powerhouse in respect to getting an audience and a loyal audience and people who are passionate about the programming. And we like to be, our clients like to have their products in there because there's a rub-off effect of people who are passionate about programming.
Because the more passionate you are about programming, the more engaged you are, the more you watch the commercials.
Well, we believe that, yeah, there's a rub-off effect of the programming to the commercials, that if people are really into the programming, you know, they understand, I guess unconsciously, that these advertisers are actually making it possible for these programs to come on air. So we look at that. But it's not just the mere size of the program, because some programs, like Fox, might skew very good for the young people, 18 to 34. There are other programs that do 18 to 49. Then there's other programs, 20 to 54. So again, there are so many different products out there that there's place on every network for all of our clients. So we actually take a look at how to put these programs together, almost like a jigsaw puzzle, in order to achieve the objectives of the clients.
Coming up next, more from the television upfronts in New York. You're listening to The Business from KCRW. This is The Business, and I'm Matt Holzman, sitting in for Kim Masters. Kim was in New York last week at the Television Upfronts, the network's big springtime ad sales fest. She's talking to Lyle Schwartz from Group M, a major media buyer, about Fox, the number one network.
Well, they have a few programs out there that are clearly well above in audience level than anyone else. But not all their programming is up there. So it's you don't only buy a program. You're actually buying, it's almost like a recipe. A few of these programs, a few of those programs, you buy across networks if it fits. So I don't think there's any one network who can stand up there and say, you know, I'm dominant. You have to come to me.
I got to tell you, I sort of had the impression that Fox is that network. Is that wrong?
Well, like I said, Fox has some programming that is very good. And every one of these presentations is all about telling the great side of the business, how wonderful everything is. What you need to do sometimes is come over to my side of the business, which is to go in, look under the facade on the outside, and let's go in and see what programming does well, what doesn't do well. And also there's a price tag, because some of the programs that do well are very, very highly priced. Because, you know, again, it's supply and demand. The more people want a program, the higher the price is. So we actually have to do, as I said, the recipe. We pick a little from here, a little from here, and a little from here to put together a good recipe. What we have is a team where we'll take a look, we'll sit down, we'll discuss the programming, and we have people of you know, men, women, younger, middle age, older like me, where we actually talk about the programming and who it skews to and who watches it. And we talk about the opinions because, again, certain of these programs really aren't aimed at me. So I need to hear from other people as to what they think. And we actually put it on a board and we lay it out and then we start doing some analysis of it.
You bring in ordinary people?
Well, no, these are the people on my team at the within Group M.
But they're meant to represent a cross-section.
They do. They actually do represent a cross-section. Everything from like an 18 to 24, 27-year-old, 30-year-old, 40, and then you got the 50-plus me.
Many of the shows coming to TV this season will stink, but they'll look great because they'll be in sparkling, ultra-clear high definition. More and more TV programs have been shooting digitally because of the simpler production process and the potential cost savings. And in the last year, three things pushed digital cameras towards becoming the standard for TV. One, digital is covered by AFTRA, and SAG didn't have a contract with producers. Two, high-def technology is starting to look so much better than old digital cameras. And three, the broadcast switch to digital means a lot of people bought new televisions, and a lot of those TVs are high-def. In fact, it's estimated that a quarter of all American households now have high-def TVs. While it's awesome that those people can finally see just how white their local newscaster's teeth really are, high-def is also changing people's jobs behind the camera. Darby Maloney has more.
High definition is the future. A future where technology is magical.
High-def is magic if you're watching TV. But if you make TV, like production designer Don Snyder, it's just hard work.
The high-def cameras do not see the world the way our eyes do.
Snyder worked on Arrested Development, one of the first shows shot with high-definition cameras.
They read colors more brightly and more sharply than our eyes do.
And then there's the way that HD handles light and shadows, or maybe doesn't handle light and shadows. Cinematographer Gary McLeod currently works on the CBS drama The Mentalist, which, not incidentally, is not shot in HD.
It lacks the subtlety that film has. It lacks the gradation that film has.
And that's one reason why the shows that have gone high-def tend to be comedies. Again, production designer Don Snyder.
In dramas, you like to have a little moody, you know, shadow in the background because maybe that's where the bad guy's coming from. And high-def works great for comedies because everything is kind of lit at the same level and it's all crisp and in focus.
It also helps that most comedies are shot on a soundstage, because according to cinematographer Gary McLeod, the biggest challenge with HD is shooting outside in daytime.
So a white 15-story building that's three blocks away in film probably wouldn't be a problem. In HD, that white building just becomes this huge, throbbing white mass. The good news about HD is that because you have an HD monitor on set, you can see the results of what you're doing in real time.
According to cinematographer John Lindley, in the pre-high-def days,
cinematographers used to be the only people on the set who really knew what the image was going to look like the next day after the film was processed. And now, anybody who looks at a high-def monitor on the set can see what it is you're getting.
That, of course, means someone has to actually be paying attention to that high-def monitor. As production designer Don Snyder learned on Arrested Development, when actress Portia de Rossi showed up on set one day in a salmon dress.
and they shot her up against the hallway. The hallway was almost a salmonish color, and all you saw was her head.
In this new high-def world, people on TV shows who don't specifically work with cameras still need to know an awful lot about them, since each camera affects the way they do their job on a particular day. Patty Bunch has been a makeup artist since the 80s.
The older the cameras, the older the technology, the more makeup that you have to use, the more tricks you have to use, the more highlighting you have to use.
If you're not careful, they can see every wrinkle, pore, and nose hair. Even kids can't escape the all-seeing eye of high def. Patty recently shot a sitcom pilot for ABC called The Middle, starring Patricia Heaton and a bunch of teenagers.
People call this the middle of nowhere. Orson, Indiana.
One young girl in particular, she had a lot of breakouts. So I told all the executive producers and I said, we've got 6 days here before we actually start shooting. Let's diminish these pimples, get rid of them. They said, no, we like the pimples. Pimples make them look like teenagers. Well, when we got on location out in this cornfield and these kids showed up with these pimples, they wanted them gone. They said, cover them. Oh my gosh, she's got pimples. They don't look good in high def.
If the people behind the camera don't know what they're doing, high def can be a nightmare for the people in front of the camera. Jillian Barbary Reynolds hosts American Idol Extra for the Fox reality channel.
I mean, my first week on American Idol, it was so dark that I looked like I had been punched in the eyes. You couldn't even see my eyes.
But if the crew knows what they're doing, HD can be downright flattering, especially for people who used to be shot with old-school TV cameras. Jillian also has a day job as co-host of the local morning show Good Day LA, which went high def a year ago.
Coming up, how big a baby girl is when she's born may increase her risk for breast cancer. Goodness.
All I know is people started saying to me, wow, you look really great on TV lately. And Steve Edwards, who's my co-host, was saying how he was starting to hear the same thing. And isn't it interesting? It was around the time we went to high def.
Granted, Jillian has what they call a great canvas, which definitely helps. But if the crew is experienced and if they're using the latest HD technology, high def can be amazing. Patty Bunch recently shot in high def on the short-lived sitcom In the Motherhood, starring Megan Mullally.
So shooting outside with a woman who is 50 years old, and she looked absolutely stunning, as if she were shot in film.
Shooting digital used to mean saving money but compromising the look of film. Now that's rapidly changing. Again, cinematographer John Lindley.
Ultimately, I think, you know, it'll just gradually replace film and no one will compare it to film anymore. It will become its own standard.
So people in the business have to get on the HD train like yesterday, says cinematographer Gary McLeod.
There was a time when they would bring in the cinematographer and say, we're thinking of using this or doing that, and what do you think of that? Now it's a done deal. When you're hired, they tell you, we will be shooting on HD. Do you have any HD experience? And if you don't have HD experience, you're as good as not hired.
For the business, this is Darby Maloney.
And that's The Business. If you have any questions or comments about the show, write us at thebusiness@kcrw.org. You can also listen to this or any past program, comment about the show, and engage with other listeners at kcrw.com/thebusiness. You can listen to our podcast, share it with a friend, or embed it on your blog with a click of a button from our new media player at kcrw.com. And you can always subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. I'm Matt Holzman, and I produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna. Our associate producer is Darby Maloney. Our theme music mashup was designed by beat architect Jason Groman. The Business is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica. I'm Matt Holzman, and we'll see you next week on The Business.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Support comes from USC Online, providing exceptional online graduate programs, certificates, and upskilling for current and aspiring professionals. Explore your graduate options today with the University of Southern California at online.usc.edu.